consumer spending. There are many factors that affect how much people are willing and able to spend. John Maynard Keynes, one of the major figures in the history of economics, pictured, developed a theory of consumption that depended mainly on disposable income. You would expect that there is a positive relationship between income and demand, no surprises there. But what matters more is the rate at which consumers increase demand as income rises. This is called a marginal propensity to consume. Say that someone receives an increase in pay of £2,000 and they spend £1,500, thus the marginal propensity to spend is £1,500/£2,000 equals 0.75. The remainder is saved, so the marginal propensity to save would be 0.25. A simple rule to remember is that the marginal propensity to consumer added to the marginal propensity to save must always equal 1. The marginal propensity to consume and to save differs from person to person. Generally, people on lower incomes tend to have a higher propensity to spend. This matters when the government announces changes in taxation in the level of welfare benefits. For example, the Australian government introduced a tax cut in 2009 designed to increase disposable income and boost spending to help the economy recover from recession. The tax cut did seem to lead to a rise in consumer spending, although some taxpayers chose to save any gain in income and repay debt. Incomes matter in determining spending. The Bank of England has an economic model that predicts what will happen to consumer spending after various shocks. In the long term, the thing that matters most is people's real incomes. Changes in the amount we earn are by far the most important feature determining how much we spend. Other features, such as the value of our homes or our financial savings, matter a bit, but their effect is dwarfed by changes in our earnings. Source: Hamish McRae, The Independent, 8th August 2004. Factors that affect consumer demand. A change in interest rates: lower interest rates cuts the cost of paying the debt on a mortgage, and thereby increases the effective disposable income of home earners. One of the features of the current recession has been the sharp reduction in official backquote policy interest rates by central banks. This is designed to boost consumer spending and avoid a slump. A change in household wealth, for example, a sustained fall in house prices might cause a decline in personal wealth and spending, as home earners have less housing equity available to borrow. This is sometimes referred to as the wealth effect. A change in consumer confidence, for example, fears of rising unemployment and expectations of higher taxes will hit consumer sentiment and spending. If you don't have enough confidence, you are unlikely to go ahead with major purchases such as a new car. A reduction in the supply of credit. One of the features of the credit crunch has been a slump in the flow of credit available for many households and businesses. Banks have become less willing to lend, and if they do, the rate of interest on the loan has increased. The supply of mortgage finance has dried up, and would-be home buyers now need to find a bigger deposit before getting a home loan. The loan-to-valuation ratios have fallen, that has affected people's ability to borrow to fund property purchases. The top chart tracks what has happened to consumer confidence in the UK in recent years. The bottom chart follows the growth of consumer spending and maps it against the policy interest rate set by the Bank of England. Has the steep cut in interest rates been a factor causing a recovery in consumer spending during the later months of 2009 and into 2010? Spending on consumer durables. Consumer durables provide a flow of services and a flow of utility to a consumer over time. Examples include new cars, household appliances, audiovisual equipment and furniture, etc. For most of the last decade, our spending on durable goods has been rising strongly. This is because of a number of factors, including 1. Falling prices for many durable products, arising from advances in production technology and the effects of globalization, which means that we can now import many of durables more cheaply from overseas. 2. Prices of durables have fallen relative to people's income. 3. Lower interest rates encourage people to spend more on big-ticket items. 4. Rising incomes. The demand for consumer durables is more income elastic than for non-durables, which are usually staple items in people's monthly budget. So when living standards are improving, so too does the market demand for durable items. Note though that spending on durables fell in 2008-09, a product of the recession. Many consumers cut back on luxury expensive purchases because confidence declined, and credit was less easily available. In a recession, demand declines for products with a high income elasticity of demand. Consumer confidence takes a dip, and threatens the recovery. Swings in consumer confidence have often provided reliable evidence of short-term turning points in economic activity. And there are growing fears of a double-dip recession for the UK, with a raft of household surveys suggesting a weakening of sentiment about prospects for the economy. The worsening of expectations is probably the result of a combination of factors. Asterisk expectations of higher taxes, including the rise in VAT to 20%. Asterisk the fallout from the July 2010 budget and the expected cuts in public sector spending and employment. Asterisk evidence of a weakening in the housing market. Asterisk continued high inflation, but pay rises lagging prices, causing real incomes to fall. Asterisk worries about the future of private sector pension provision. Asterisk unemployment expectations have worsened. Asterisk very low interest rates for savers, the real return on saving, is negative at the moment. Given that domestic consumer spending accounts for over 60% of GDP, a sustained weakness of consumer confidence will have a damaging effect on the economy to sustain a recovery as we head in 2011. The wealth effect. Wealth represents the value of a stock of assets owned by people. For most people, the majority of their wealth is held in the form of property, shares in quoted companies on the stock market, savings in banks, building societies and money accumulating in occupational pension schemes. Can the level of wealth affect how much we are willing and able to spend? Many economists think that there is a positive relationship between wealth and spending, although the size of the effect is open to question. House prices soared during the first 7 years of this decade, but then started a steep fall before leveling off in 2009. There was also a sharp decline in the value of the FTSE 100 share index in 2008-09. Allied to high levels of consumer debt, for instance in mortgages and credit cards, there was a fall in the net wealth of the UK household sector. This is likely to have been a major factor behind the reduction in consumer spending in the British economy in 2009, and hence one of the many causes of the recession. Stock market prices have recovered some ground in 2009-10, and there are signs that house prices have started to rise again. But the size of the wealth effect remains open to question. Wealth is not simply a matter of property and shares. For millions of people, assets in the form of savings and occupational pension schemes are important. So the real value of their savings and the income that flows from deposit accounts from interest payments will have a direct effect on their spending power. In the last 2 years, the average rate of interest on savings deposits have been exceptionally low and less than the rate of inflation. The result has been a cut in the real purchasing power of people, who depend on their savings to fund their spending. Consumer borrowing. Most of us at some time in our lives need to borrow money to finance spending. From taking out a mortgage to making frequent use of bank credit cards, borrowing is a normal feature of life and not necessarily something to be worried about. What matters is whether building up debt is sustainable. In other words, can those who rely on debt pay it back? The credit market for individuals is complex. Broadly speaking, we can distinguish between unsecured borrowing, that is a loan or an overdraft which is not tied to the value of another asset. Good examples of this are student overdrafts, bank loans and money borrowed on store and credit cards. Secured borrowing is lending where the borrower must use another asset as collateral for the loan. The best understood example of this is a mortgage with a bank or building society. Home buyers are at risk if they fail to keep up with monthly mortgage repayments, and ultimately, the lender may foreclose and seek a repossession of the property. Without question, one of the most important features of the British economy in recent years has been the high levels of borrowing. Many billions of pounds have been added to credit card debts, and the scale of remortgaging in the housing market has been huge. To use a technical term, what we have seen is a backward leveraging up of the consumer sector, which in layperson's terms means that people seem to have been happy to increase the ratio of their debt to income. Indeed, such has been the scale of the borrowing binge that the UK has one of the highest debt-to-income ratios of any of the leading economies. The rate of growth of consumer borrowing is shown below. By May 2008, total personal debt in the UK had reached £1.44 trillion and the average consumer owed £4,900 on credit cards, motor and retail finance deals, overdrafts and unsecured personal loans. The average interest paid by each household on their total debt is approximately £3,774 each year. It is worth noting how much more expensive is an unsecured loan compared to the official policy interest rate set by the Bank of England. In the summer of 2010, the average interest rate charged on a bank overdraft or on credit cards was higher than 16%, more than 30 times the official monetary policy interest rate, and over 4 times the cost of a typical mortgage. Why are interest rates so much higher? Partly it is because the risk of a borrower defaulting on their loan is considered by the lender to be greater for credit card borrowing. Risk-averse banks and credit card companies will charge a premium rate on these loans. One effect of high levels of borrowing has been a steep rise in the number of personal bankruptcies in the British economy. Annual growth of consumer borrowing. Annual percentage change in consumer borrowing in the UK